Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Why Play? How to Make Play an Essential Part of Early Education by Ray Pika is a contemporary early childhood education book that combines advocacy, research synthesis, and practical guidance. Its central purpose is to argue that play is not separate from learning and certainly not a reward after serious work. Instead, Pika presents play as a primary way young children develop intellectually, physically, socially, and emotionally, written for teachers, caregivers, school leaders, and families. The book responds to ongoing pressure in early education to emphasize narrow academic outcomes at younger and younger ages. Pika, a longtime early childhood consultant and author, positions play as a developmental necessity rather than an optional classroom extra. The book also serves as a tool for communication, helping adults explain and defend play-based approaches to others who may be skeptical. In that sense, it is both a philosophical statement about childhood and a practical manual for people trying to build learning environments that respect how young children actually grow. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, play is a biological and developmental necessity. A major idea in the book is that play should be treated as a basic human need in childhood, not as a luxury or a break from instruction. Pika draws on well-established thinking in child development to show that play supports the whole child. In early childhood, development does not happen in isolated compartments. Cognitive growth, physical coordination, emotional regulation, language, and social understanding are all deeply connected. And play is one of the few experiences that naturally engages them together. This is why the book frames play as essential rather than decorative. The argument is especially important in a climate where early education is often pushed toward formal academics too soon. Pika challenges the assumption that more direct instruction automatically leads to stronger outcomes. Instead, she emphasizes that children learn by exploring, experimenting, moving, pretending, negotiating, and making meaning through lived activity. That position places the book firmly within a developmental tradition, while also giving it urgency as a response to current educational trends. The result is a clear reframing of play from something adults permit to something children require for healthy growth and effective learning. Secondly, different forms of play and what they contribute. Another important contribution of the book is its broad view of what counts as play. Rather than treating play as one simple category, Pika highlights a range of forms that support development in different ways. These include free play, guided play, imaginative play, cooperative play, risky play, rough and tumble play, and forms of constructive or exploratory activity. This wider framework matters because debates about play often become too narrow, focusing only on whether children should have unstructured time. Pika shows that variety is part of the strength of a play-based approach. Some forms of play encourage creativity and symbolic thinking, while others build negotiation, self-control, confidence, or physical competence. Risky and active play, for example, can help children test limits, improve judgment, and gain body awareness. Cooperative and pretend play often support communication, perspective taking, and relationship building. Guided play gives adults a way to support learning without taking over the experience. By distinguishing these modes, the book helps readers see that play is not educationally vague. It is rich, layered, and adaptable. This makes the case for play more persuasive, because it links specific kinds of play to specific developmental benefits without collapsing everything into one formula. Thirdly, a challenge to early academic pressure. The book directly addresses a familiar problem in early education, the belief that earlier academic instruction is always better. Pika argues against the tendency to push young children into formalized learning routines that ignore developmental readiness. Her position is not anti-learning or anti-school. Instead, it is a critique of practices that confuse visible academic tasks with meaningful education. In many early childhood settings, adults feel pressure from standards. Assessments, parent expectations, or policy trends to prioritize worksheets, seat work, or narrowly defined school readiness goals. Pika counters that this approach can reduce motivation, limit active engagement, and crowd out the kinds of experiences through which young children build deeper capacities. Play, in her account, is not the opposite of rigor. It is a more developmentally appropriate route to problem solving, language growth, self-direction, persistence, and social competence. This argument gives the book a strong advocacy dimension. It asks readers to reconsider what real learning looks like in the early years, and whether adult systems are serving children well. By confronting the myth that serious learning must look highly structured, Pika offers a more humane and developmentally grounded vision of educational quality. Fourthly, helping educators and families become play advocates. A practical strength of the book is that it does not stop at theory. Pika recognizes that many teachers and caregivers already value play, but struggle to defend it in conversations with parents, administrators, and policymakers. For that reason, the book functions partly as an advocacy resource. It equips readers with language and reasoning that connect play to child development and learning outcomes in ways other adults can understand. This is especially useful in systems where play is often dismissed as unproductive or unserious. Pucka appears to understand that resistance to play-based practice is not always rooted in bad intentions. Sometimes it reflects misinformation, anxiety about achievement, or a limited picture of how children learn. The book, therefore, supports readers in building a stronger public case for play. It helps translate developmental principles into arguments that matter in real educational settings. This advocacy role broadens the book's value beyond the classroom. It becomes a tool for staff discussions, professional learning, parent communication, and institutional change. In that sense, Pika is not only defending play as an idea, she is helping adults create the cultural and professional conditions in which play can be protected, respected, and meaningfully implemented. Lastly, balancing child-led experience with intentional adult support. An important nuance in the book is that supporting play does not mean adults should simply step away and do nothing. Pika presents play-based education as thoughtful and intentional, while still respecting the child's initiative and natural rhythms. This balance is crucial because debates about play often become polarized. On one side is overly scripted instruction, and on the other is a misunderstanding that any adult involvement ruins play. Pika offers a more useful middle ground. Children need space for agency, curiosity, movement, and imagination, but they also benefit from environments, materials, schedules, and relationships that adults intentionally design. Guided play is one example of how educators can extend learning while preserving engagement and autonomy. Adults can observe, support, scaffold, and respond without dominating the experience. This approach reflects a sophisticated understanding of teaching in the early years. It values professional judgment while keeping the child at the center. The book, therefore, helps readers move beyond simplistic slogans about play and toward a more credible model of practice. It suggests that excellent early education is not built by replacing play with instruction, but by creating conditions where play and intentional teaching work together in developmentally appropriate ways. In conclusion, Why Play is best suited to early childhood teachers, program leaders, childcare professionals, parents, and advocates who want a clear, research-informed defense of play in the early years. It is especially useful for readers working in environments where play has been pushed aside by academic pressure or misunderstood as something secondary to real learning. One of the book's strongest benefits is that it combines principle and application. It explains why play matters, but it also helps readers talk about that importance with others and think more carefully about implementation. That makes it valuable not only as a professional resource, but also as a practical advocacy tool. Compared with many books in the play-based education category, this one appears to stand out for its directness, accessibility, and breadth. It addresses multiple forms of play, connects them to whole child development, and responds to contemporary concerns in early education without losing sight of children's basic needs. Pika also brings authority from decades of work in the field, which gives the book credibility without making it overly academic. For readers seeking a concise but substantial case for restoring play to the center of early education, it offers both conviction and usable guidance. If you would like to support Rai Pika, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.